You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We're heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and all over God's magnificent planet, Miss Ellen.
That's right. On the World Wide Web on 1510wwbc.com. You can hit that Listen Live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, our archive shows are also there under the On Demand button. And you can pick by date. Of course, we share all of that information on all of our social media and our websites. And the website is cetamediainc.com, where you can get all of the replays and you can download. And, of course, you can search by topic or by name of people that were on the show. And over 15 years worth, usually two guests a week, you can imagine there's a lot of great information on there.
Then my memory is going. I can't remember names.
I know, but I just plug them into the website. It's amazing. It's like, wow, you were on the show in, 2015.
Well, it's amazing. For our listeners who are tuning in today to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we have an action-packed show for you today. We've got two wonderful guests in studio. One of them is my good friend and a friend of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Claire Ellis, and she's the chair of the Education and Training Program for the Zonta Club of Melbourne. And the other guest was referred to us from another ABWA sister, Sydney Schmidt, and her name is Krista. I want to say Krista Tippett, but it's not.
Yeah.
Her name is Krista Petty, and she is the mentor coordinator for the signature program called Take Stock in Children under the umbrella of the Brevard School Foundation. So welcome to our show, both of you.
Woohoo! Happy to be here.
And of course, Ellen O'Neill is here, my co-host, who's been with the show for over 14.75 years and 2 hours, who knows. And Allie Tamber, a friend, is here as well. She comes and she sits with us every Monday and listens to all our shenanigans, whatever we're talking about, whether it's saving people money, whether it's buying a home, how to get a mortgage, encouraging people to vote, taking care of the environment, taking care of the elderly, the children, the sick, whatever it is. Our show gives people a platform to come on, even to talk about a book, a story for a book. Everyone has a story to tell when they write a book. And our show has become like Grand Central Station for authors and writers, which I love it because being an author myself, and of course Ellen being a singer and an artist of some sort here in Brevard County, Florida, we like people who are creative and talented, and we give people a chance to showcase what they're doing. So that's my little spiel for today. And of course, I'll go around the table really quick. It's five of us here, plus Danny, and ask everyone, did they watch the Super Bowl? And did your team win, Miss Ellen?
So I'll start and say, no, I did not watch the Super Bowl. Not an NFL fan, but I'm a Taylor Swift lover.
All right, so Allie,
yes.
What about
oh,
you?
Oh, yes, from start to finish with a whole bunch of people in my house.
Are you a Swiftie like I am?
Oh, certainly.
All right. And you know, Claire, did you watch
women.
It? I didn't watch it. I'm not a football fan, but I loved hearing all the great things that came from it, and I was happy.
What about you, Chris? Study?
Yes, we watched it and ate a lot of good food.
Yeah.
I know, that's the best part, right?
It
the
is.
Wings, buffalo wings. I watched it, and I don't know a darn thing about football. I kept asking my husband everything, but I watched it because I really wanted to see the halftime show with Usher, which I thought was fantastic.
That
skating
bring
brought back so much memories, not me, because I never skated in my life, but of my children skating. And the song, my daughter used to they used to dance to that song all the time. And, of course, I wanted to see Taylor Swift because I do feel like, you know, she's blessed. All of us are given a talent, a gift, and an ability. And I feel like Taylor Swift is an all-American, beautiful, incredibly talented woman, and she's taken the gifts that God has given her, and she's not greedy. She shares her money, her talent. She shares herself with all of us, and I wanted to support Taylor Swift's boyfriend. I was cheering for the Chiefs because you don't see people like her who are self-made billionaires that walk on this planet and give back so much to the earth, to Mother Earth.
Yep.
Give back to the homeless shelters, to the soup kitchens. And Claire, you reminded us about that, right?
Yes. That every city that they played in, when she went to the game, she gave millions to the food banks in that city.
Right. And so with that wonderful note, we're going to start our show today. Claire Ellis is going to go first because we have a lot of educating to do still, not just here in Brevard County, Florida, but around the world about what can we do to aid people who are experiencing domestic violence, to educate men and women and boys and girls what not to do with their partner. Intimate partner violence is up. Domestic violence is up. We know that. And also, human trafficking. The Zonta Club of Melbourne assists with so many things, and they're a group of professionals. And I'll have Claire talk to us a little bit about the mission of the Zonta Club in Melbourne and what she does in her capacity as the chair of education and training. So get closer to the mic, Miss Claire, and start. Tell us a little bit about the Zonta Club of Melbourne.
Thank you so much, Sita, and we appreciate, Zonta Club of Melbourne appreciates everything you do to help us with our mission of educating the public regarding human trafficking, all the things that we do, fight domestic violence, and the scholarships that we give. We believe so strongly in education because a little more money in a woman's paycheck helps her family. And so we really, really want to promote education of women and girls, and we give many scholarships for that. And we were very excited this past year that we had someone from Melbourne who attends Florida Tech, FIT, Trupti Mahendrakar. She applied for the Amelia Earhart Fellowship, which is a $10,000 fellowship, and she received it. This is the first time we've had someone from Melbourne, and we're very, very proud, very excited about that.
That sounds
And we're also very excited. One of our competitors, Rebecca Montanez, also this year received the Zonta Yellow Dog Culinary Scholarship at Eastern Florida State College, and we are happy to have her be representing at the Chocolate Festival from the Culinary Scholarship winner. That's very exciting. So March 3rd, Grand Manor, 19th Annual Chocolate Festival.
It's hard to believe it's been 19 years.
And really what I'd like to do now is give credit to our beloved Christine Tomasetti, who had the idea to spark that first chocolate festival.
Well, it raised my ears up. Chocolate? Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Okay. Yes. Great. The competitors we have this year are Amici's Italian Bakery, Asado Argentinian Steakhouse, The Courtyard by Marriott West Melbourne, Dana's Cupcakes and More, Eastern Florida State Culinary Scholarship winner, which we just talked about, and Jersey Brothers Diner, Southern Caramel, and Yellow Dog Cafe. And so we're going to have a little competition here from the 23 winners. First place was Southern Caramel, with their delicious caramel tart. Second place was a tie with the Courtyard Marriott West with their dark and milk chocolate cupcakes, and the Yellow Dog Cafe with the blood orange chocolate cake. So yes, they were tied for second, and third place was Sage Bistro with Dee's Mini Kentucky Derby Pie. So hopefully we'll see who the winners are this year.
And who are your distinguished judges with the great taste buds on that day? Is it the people that are walking around?
Yes.
The attendees?
Everybody gets the attendees get a ballot. They go through and get all the competitors' chocolate. They sit down.
Oh, boy.
And enjoy all of the chocolate and fill out their ballot. Yes, it's all about the people that attend who gets the most votes.
And this is taking place, folks, on Sunday, March 3rd. The Grand Manor, right? On Aurora Road.
Grand Manor.
And that good parking.
From 1 to 5.
1 to 5.
1 to 5 this year. And we have some wonderful sponsors I'd like to call out. Of course, our beautiful Sandy Mickelson, our president. Brevard Regional Hyperbaric Center, Minuteman Press, Shallon Properties, Wren Insurance Agency, Courtyard by Marriott West Melbourne, The Residence Inn by Marriott, Jill Raley, State Farm Insurance, Kathy Green, Realtor, Ellington Properties, Wicks Law, Valderrama Orthodontics, and so many media sponsors that have been so kind to us and helping us to promote the festival. Hometown News, Brevard Business News, Spotlight Magazine, Brevard Live, Everything Brevard, 98.5, WFIT, and CETA and Friends.
Yes, that's us.
Mm-hmm. And we're all about that day, educating the public about chocolate, fair trade chocolate.
And I like what you do when you all have the chocolate festival. You're reaching out to so many people and letting them know that the mission of the Zonta Club, Zonta International, is that it's a global organization of professionals that choose to empower women worldwide through advocacy and service, which a lot of people with so many nonprofits and organizations right here in Brevard and around the world, a lot of people don't know what Zonta International and the Zonta Club of Melbourne does. So maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about the vision of the Zonta Club here in Melbourne.
Our vision, as I stated in the beginning, is to do everything we can to improve the lives of women and girls. Education is key. It has been shown that a woman who has a third grade education and her child can get a fourth grade education, a year more than her, with everything that we do around the world and in this country to promote education. So it's always education that's the key to everything.
Right. You put value on people's lives.
Yes.
And you make people feel wanted and appreciated worldwide. And the Zonta Club, to me, represents the state of mind for all of us where no woman should live in the fear of violence.
We just recently had an incredible event regarding domestic violence. We collected shoes, women's, men's, and children's shoes, and we had a huge display, which ended up we had over 400 pairs of shoes, and we asked people to come through and walk through the shoes representing lives lost to domestic violence. And I think it was a very serious event, but an event that opened the eyes of a lot of people that don't really understand what happens in a domestic violence situation. And it's family members, live-in partners, dating partners, anyone that can fall to domestic violence. And we've seen it happen not only in faraway places, but here locally as well.
Yes. And I see Ellen wants to jump in here. Go ahead, Elle.
Yeah, well, and I've been close to domestic violence recently as well. It is local. It is very local. But I want to backtrack just a little bit. And why chocolate? And talk to our listeners a little bit about fair trade chocolate and break everybody's heart as to what we can't buy anymore.
Okay.
What we shouldn't buy anymore.
Okay. Fair trade chocolate. What does that mean? That means that the chocolate you're eating was not made by slaves, by children on cocoa plantations in Africa, in Ghana, on the Ivory Coast of Africa, in Ghana. And it's just getting worse and worse. And we always try to tell everyone to please look for these symbols when you buy chocolate. UTZ, the Rainforest Alliance, and Fair Trade in here.
I'm going to take a picture of it while we're talking here. Yep.
And what that means is, it's not a guarantee. I have to say that. It's not a 100% guarantee. But we're hoping that that means, for the most part, this was not chocolate that came from enslaved children on cocoa plantations. What I have to say is, we ask you please not to buy Hershey Mars and Nestle's, and they are not any participants in trying to have fair trade chocolate. And I will tell you my personal experience with Hershey, and this actually happened. I called the company and I wanted to ask them, because every year they say we're going to do it next year. This has been going on for 20 years. So I called to see maybe somebody would talk to me about it. And that's when I found out that it's not about a Hershey family or anything anymore. It's owned by a group of attorneys. And when I called and identified myself and said what I wanted, they just said, just a minute. And they passed me from person to person who read pages and pages of legalese to me. And no one really talked to me. So this went on for like 15 minutes. So I just hung up.
Mm. Well, yeah, and it's an important thing for people to know about where your chocolate, especially if you're a chocolate lover.
That's an ethical issue. That's an ethical issue because, you know, people wake up every day and they say they care about women and children, and the whole world, we're crying out, oh, we do this for children, we care about our lives and this and that. But then you find out that little kids are slaving away in the cocoa plantations.
Certainly we can go
vote. In certain parts of the world,
yep,
so that people could satisfy their taste buds and eat chocolate. And like, I mean, I like Kit Kat. But I found out from you, Kalei, that that's one of the ones as well.
Yeah.
So we don't want... But one of the other stories that I wanted you to tell, Claire, because it's one of my favorites, is why you got involved with Zonta about your trip.
Oh, okay.
And how Zonta really impacted you, not from the organization standpoint, but really what you saw.
I had just come back from a trip to Bosnia-Herzegovina with my sister, who wanted to visit her daughter doing mission work there, and my sister's health wasn't so great, so I went along. And I had never been to a country that was impoverished, where I saw such poverty. And what I saw was women, children, literally in the street. There was nowhere, even once a day, to get a meal, to do anything. The children, I just saw abject poverty, okay? And when I came back, I decided that there was something I could do. I was approached to attend a meeting. I didn't know what it was. I had never heard about Zonta. So I went to the meeting. I liked what I saw. I became a member. And I guess that was 19 or 20 years ago. So they invited me to a conference. And at that conference, there was someone speaking from Zonta International, and it was about the first human trafficking project that was in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Mm. Because of the wars, all the wars, and all that was happening, the borders had become soft. And so that was the biggest influx of women they were bringing across from the east to the west for human trafficking. And that's when it really kicked in. And I thought, I've been there. I've seen what is happening. So So that became my whole target.
Well, it's amazing when you travel and you see so many children suffering all over the world. I remember when we went to Istanbul, we saw the most beautiful little children outside the Blue Mosque, just begging for anything you could give them. And it breaks your heart. Like you say, if you go to other countries, you see it. And then you know how blessed we are here in the United States.
But what does it look like here? What does all of that look like here? Because like I had told you the story one time of on Tropical Trail that I watched a van drop off three or four kids selling magazines. And I immediately called the police because I was like, why would a white van be dropping off kids to walk Tropical Trail that has no sidewalk, no nothing, and these 8, 9, and 10-year-olds are walking up to doors trying to sell magazines? And I was like, something's not right with this. And they investigated, and sure enough, it wasn't.
Yes, and someone recently just told me they came to their door. And what's happening, thank you for bringing that up, that's human trafficking. What happens is they go tell the parents, they go around the high schools, they tell the parents who are looking for ways to make more money and so on, impoverished, and they're telling them, we'll train your kids, we'll give them job skills. And the parents are like, yes, yes. So they put them on buses, bring them here, and they're selling magazines. And they're telling you it's for their college, and they're wearing shirts, and they're a nonprofit, and help us, and everything. They hardly get a dollar. Don't ever buy anything. No children, unless it's, you know, the school, your grandchildren, something like
that. Like the Girl Scout cookies or something.
But that don't buy anything, because the best thing you could do for someone that comes to your door.
Cheap little toys.
Hmm? Yeah.
Cheap little dollar store toys.
Is give them a snack and a drink, because they probably haven't had anything, and they're going to make them pay a lot of money to take them to a burger place. So give them something, don't buy anything. And you can also call not the 911, but your local police. They're all aware of it. At one time, Palm Bay rescued 24 children. They bring them from many other different places around Florida. And there's always that van. You don't know where that van is, too, waiting somewhere. So thank you for bringing that up.
I watch too many Lifetime movies. Every time I see one of those white vans, I wonder what's going on.
But
in
we
that
think sometimes because human trafficking is happening in other countries, or we think it's happening, it's happening here. It just looks different. And we just need to know the signs. And I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay. That brings me to the point, because the segment is going to be coming to a close soon. That Claire mentioned to us that the Zonta Club is on the official list to train hotel employees, because with all the stuff going on at the southern border and all the people coming in who are legal and illegal and all this kind of stuff, human trafficking is on the rise with those people coming in. So talk to us a little bit about how Zonta got on that list to train the hotel employees to look out for what's going on.
Yes. Many, many different signs and symptoms when they're checking in. First of all, any kind of resemblance to what they're claiming are all their children, family members. What do they look like? Are they dirty? Are they just carrying a little plastic bag with a couple things? Are they looking down? They're never speaking. Look for these symptoms. When we say also, are they asking for a lot of towels in the room? Sometimes they want to book rooms that are near stairways so people can come up. They and may have two rooms, one where they're calling and making all the appointments, the other one where it's happening. Be advised. But we say never put yourself in any danger. You report to your manager, to law enforcement. You do not personally respond. One of the hotels, through what we were telling them, one of them was, do they pay cash? And they said they were going to stop taking cash.
Yeah. And you also, when you came to my home and we had the fundraiser, yes, we had those, the testers. Talk to us a little bit about the coasters. Remember you had given us something that when people are drinking,
the coasters.
Right.
Yes.
Those were a really good tool for women to have in their purses.
Yes. Yes, we have the coasters that we're trying to get out everywhere we can, that you can carry with you, and if you're in a situation, you're in a bar somewhere, or by yourself, or meeting someone, and you have a drink, you're not sure, you want to test your drink, you're in a situation that you're just not sure, so you put two drops on the card, you can test two different drinks on it, and it will tell you if your drink has been altered, except for blue drinks. They make so many blue drinks.
Yeah. Those, right, so yeah. Stop drinking blue drinks. Right.
And you know, one of the things I read as I was preparing for the show as well, during COVID, there was a rise in domestic violence as well and human trafficking. And the pizza shops, now they're training those employees. People are spelling out when they're in trouble when they order a pizza.
Yes.
We talked about that as well. And some of them are writing on the receipts. Some of them are writing on napkins. Some of them are giving a code word to the employees. Tell our listeners here, Claire Ellis, a little bit about that.
Well, one thing I can't show your listeners, maybe you can take the universal sign of distress if you ever see this, and we also tell the hotel employees. If anybody is making this sign, thumb in, fingers over.
Open and close,
open,
yeah.
And close. They're not saying
so if
anything.
You know sign language, it's an A with your thumb tucked in.
Thank you.
And I'll make sure that I'll make sure that we take a picture of that.
And
as well.
Yeah, anybody you see this, do not approach. Do not call law enforcement. That means that person is in some
danger,
type
yeah.
of distress. It's the universal sign.
I'm taking a video.
Okay.
So for listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Claire Ellis. She's a friend of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We support all her efforts here with the Zonta Club of Melbourne. Claire is the chair of education and training, and the Zonta here meets once a month. If anybody would like to join the Zonta Club, Claire will tell you how to join. You could join online. If you don't want to be a member, you can also donate. They accept donations to help the club with their scholarships. Also, the Zonta Club helps people all over the world. I know in some instances, we've had where Zonta International will buy like a goat for someone, and that family overseas can milk that goat, sell the milk, and make some money so that women have the resources that they need to make decisions for their families and their children. So, Claire, tell our listeners how to join Zonta or the website.
Well, we meet on the third Thursday, and we're meeting this week at Perkins on Wickham Road. If you would like to join us, go to our website, zontaspacecoast.org, and you'll find out everything about who we are, what we do, our projects, the scholarships we give. And we also want the students to be aware that they can apply for these scholarships. Every year we're trying to put out more and more information to get students to apply for all the wonderful scholarships that we give. And we like to work with the schools on that and be able to give out all the scholarships. And now we have a manufacturing scholarship, too, that we've added, because that's very important as well.
Right. And what I like is that the members of the Zonta Club right here in Melbourne, they are members from our community who are well-versed in business, health, education, all walks of life in the community, a wide range of skills. And when you attend the meetings, you learn about the activities and the service projects, like I learned about the projects where we were collecting bras to send to Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I learned about that. And you network as well. There's so much networking opportunities. You cultivate a lot of friendships here in Brevard, around the United States and abroad, and we learn to give back to a community. And what happens when we give back to a community? We feel good. We enjoy helping other people. So Claire, tell our listeners one more time, spread the word about the chocolate festival, the venue, the time, the price of the tickets if possible, before we go off air for the segment.
Sure. March 3rd, Grand Manor, 1 to 5. $40 are the tickets and $45 at the door. Everything is on the website, zontaspacecoast.org. Come, eat chocolate, vote for Brevard's Best Chocolate Fix, learn about chocolate that is better for you to purchase, learn about human trafficking, learn about everything Zonta does. Come join us, 1 to 5, March 3rd.
Yeah. And you know, Al, she's correct. You know, Claire, you know your stuff. I just read online that child welfare advocates filed a federal lawsuit asking the Biden administration to pay attention to the cocoa that's imported from West Africa that is popular from the same brands you talked about, and they're promising by 2025, Hershey's, Mars, and Nestle, you know, they're promising by 2025 they would probably stop these chocolates, these cocoa from entering the United States.
Yeah, well,
so lawsuit was filed, and let's see in 2025 what's going to happen. Interesting.
But this, once again, this is a voting thing too as well. So find the folks that are supporting any legislature that supports the project, if you will, of, you know, it's hard to believe to me that human trafficking is going on still and that we haven't figured out how to fix it yet. That seems like that would be the easiest. Like the war on drugs, you can smuggle that in anywhere. Well, but like the war on people, it's
but,
like,
but
wow.
there is a law in the United States. In the 1930s, the federal law required that governments ban products created by child labor from entering the United States. It's just a question of enforcement. There is a law. There's always a law here, and it's all about enforcing that law.
If you go on the website, the United States, the federal website, and you will see the products listed that they know are made by labor trafficking, children and adults. The list goes on and on and on.
And what are those three major chocolates again?
That are
Hershey.
Let's talk about the ones to buy.
Wait, it was the ones that we want our listeners to know that it's part of the produced by
and,
the West
and
African
children. And actually, too, it's not just chocolate. There's many products that carry these products, but we promote Dove. And it's really, you have to look at the Dove packages because it's not even all Dove. But you'll see they have the symbol, the Fair Trade or the Rainforest Alliance or UTZ. And there's so many products. And now I'm seeing that one product, Kit Kat, is showing.
There we go.
Fair Trade.
Oh, there you go.
Oh,
you're back in business.
Cedar,
this is the best day ever.
Dark.
We're going to name this National Kit Kat Day.
Not all, but there you go.
Well, you know, before we leave the planet, we're supposed to leave a good footprint behind, right?
Right.
And I know, Ali, you want to jump in here. We have like a minute left for the segment before Danny goes to commercials.
Leave a good footprint?
Leave a good footprint behind by doing whatever we
can.
For women, children. I mean, human trafficking and child labor are two things that any congressman should pay attention to and say,
exactly.
Hey, let's look at this 1930s law that says we do not accept products or services that children under the age of 8, some of these kids are as young as 3 and 4 years old, toiling in these cocoa fields.
A lot of people that are my age and older, you know, in the nursing homes ages and sort of thing, the least we could do was to ensure that we were checking packages and the labels on them and spreading that information amongst our other neighbors.
Okay. Well, Ellen, I guess this segment, I could go on forever.
Yeah. We can go on forever.
Women and children are supposed to be protected. The innocents are supposed to be protected.
You just have
that's our role to help.
Yeah, and you really need to pay attention because there are things going on all around us that are very eye-opening. So if there's a question about it, question it.
Yeah.
If you need to question a local authority, or even if you want to call the Zonta Club, the ladies have always been very receptive of answering questions or anything that they think could be going on. So make sure that you get your questions answered. We're going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring
the Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine-in or take-out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere.
That's right. All over the World Wide Web on 1510WWBC.com. You can hit that Listen Live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. And then, of course, you can also get our archive shows also on the on-demand button by date, or you can go to our social media and our websites, which are cedamediainc.com, and get all of our replays and pictures and downloads and all kinds of good stuff. What a great first segment with Claire, with our friend Claire. Always an education and always great information to share for people.
Well, you realize how grateful I am. I don't know about other people, but I'm so grateful to live and work in the United States of America. Because when you hear about what's going on in other countries with children and women and lack of resources and war and famine and, you know, lack of birth control and all these things, you realize that we are so blessed. And our second segment is just as great. We have Krista Petty here, and she is going to talk to us a little bit about Take Stock in Children, where she is the mentor coordinator. And it is a signature program under the Brevard Schools Foundation. So, Krista, welcome to our show, and thank you for taking the time to come in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm relatively new at the Brevard School Foundation, but I've already realized that Take Stock in Children is one of the best kept secrets in our public schools, in my opinion. We offer scholarships, a lot of scholarships, through the Brevard School Foundation. And then our Take Stock in Children program actually can help students that are in need of extra help, need support systems in their lives, to not only get that support to help them stay in school, do well in school, but if they're a Take Stock in Children student, they can get a 2-year scholarship upon graduation. So
you guys are changing children's lives one day at a time.
Every day.
And when was this program started?
This program's been around for longer than most people realize. We actually started in 1996 under the Brevard School Foundation. And Take Stock in Children is actually a statewide program in the state of Florida. And it's unique to the state of Florida. It's something we can be very proud of in our education system. It was actually started in Pinellas County in 1995. It was a dropout prevention program. And it went so well that the very next year, Brevard County said, we want it too, and started doing it.
So why don't we hear more about this program?
Because we need to talk to more people like you, Sita.
Because, you know, you always hear when bad things happen with our school systems, right?
Right.
But you never hear when great things like this. And thank you to the state of Florida, and thank you to all everyone who voted for this program as well. Because you're teaching young people to take responsibility as well, which is what we need for to have great citizens later on.
Absolutely. I can tell you a couple of stories that about the Take Stock in Children program, that not only is it good for individual families in changing their lives from one of maybe generational poverty and using education to help these families and help these children break that cycle that they might be in, but also it gives back to our community. I can point to two of our great teachers in Brevard Public Schools who went away to school. They came back to Brevard County, and they are teachers. And they went away using the scholarship from Take Stock in Children, but chose to come back. We've got Caleb Moreland. He teaches social studies at Vieira High School. And then we have Amelia Wood, who just recently moved back and is a math teacher at Heritage. And we have engineers, students who maybe grew up with a single mom, who would not have had the means to help her son go off to college. He entered our program, Michael Pierce, and he was actually recognized. He's an engineer. He's a great supporter of Take Stock, and now he's a mentor with Take Stock. So we're actually seeing just a lot of generational change beginning to happen in our community because of this small, wonderful program that we have.
Right. So what does it take to be a mentor for?
What does it take to be a mentor? Well, let me start out and tell you what it takes to be a Take Stock student, and then we'll talk about mentoring. So our Take Stock students apply in 7th, 8th, or 9th grade, and they have to have a 2.5 GPA or higher. Usually they're recommended by a teacher or a guidance counselor that knows that they could probably qualify economically. All of our students that are in the Take Stock and Children program are qualified for free or reduced lunch. So economically, they can use extra assistance. They also maybe have some other risk factors. That could be they're in a single parent home or there's disability in the home. It could be that foster care is a part of the student's story. There's a number of factors that we know through a lot of research. What puts a child more at risk to not finish high school, but also not go on to any kind of career, technical education, or college? And so we really look at those, and the students have to apply, and they fill out an essay, an application. The parent or guardian of that student fills out a little essay as well. We want their participation, the student and the parent. We want them to know that this is an honor to be chosen by Take Stock.
Right, so when a child gets into the program, it has a great impact on the family.
Absolutely.
The siblings, and the community as well.
Absolutely. Now that we've been around 28 years, we are seeing multiple generations saying, oh my gosh, you got to do Take Stock. Yeah. We're seeing brothers and sisters.
Education, right?
Absolutely.
Once you know, you can spread the word.
Absolutely. So our students also, and the parent or guardian, they sign a contract with Take Stock and Children that we're going to pre-purchase a prepaid, Florida prepaid scholarship for this child, even in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. That, you know, we're counting on them to graduate, and we're in partnership with you as a family for this, and we will provide them with a mentor. And our mentors meet with students weekly. That's our preferred. Sometimes it's twice a month, but weekly, and they meet in school, so they're monitored mentoring sessions. We also have a really cool app. So during COVID, we had to pivot, that famous COVID word, right? Mm-hmm. We had to pivot. And so we had an app where our students could have monitored mentoring through the app. So video or chat with their mentors. Our mentors are background check. They are approved volunteers through the school district. So they do the fingerprinting through the school district. They do the volunteer application through the school district. They do an application with us at Take Stock. We learn a lot about our mentors through the application process. I interview the mentor. And they also take a training, and we have an online training video. And then I actually do some individual training with them as well, just making sure they understand they can't take a student in their car. They aren't going to, you know, go out and go to Starbucks and meet their student there. We really are very safe and for both student and mentor in today's
all,
world.
You have to monitor
absolutely.
That. You need transparency with that program.
Absolutely.
But when a person becomes a mentor, are you noticing that it's usually a retired person or they're from all walks of life? Because we have a lot of people who are retired in Brevard and are saying, oh, I'm bored, I miss my job, I miss my, you know, they miss their work. And it's like, well, wait a minute, there's a lot of programs in Brevard that you could sign up for, like Take Stock in Children and become a mentor for this program that you're involved in.
Absolutely. We have a number of retired people in our program, retired school teachers, retired engineers, retired doctor, a couple of retired doctors, but also I have some that are retired from the military who are interested in giving back to students. We have some that don't have, adults that haven't necessarily had a college degree themselves, but they walked their own children through that process, and they are ready to continue to give back to kids. In that way. And so, and I'm always there to support our mentors. And that is my role, is not only recruiting more mentors and training them, but walking alongside them when they run into snafus, I would say, you know, that there's something going on in a child's life that they're wanting to know, well, what's next? What do I, how do I guide them? And sometimes it's not even a problem. Sometimes it's like, I need to tell you, my student, you know, got on the varsity team. How can I celebrate with them? Or what can I do to give them a birthday gift or a Christmas gift or, you know, those kind of things. And their mentors are always asking good questions. And I'm there to help guide them to the answers. Even if I don't know, then I've got a lot of people behind me. Our staff is, we've got two other women on our staff for Take Stock, specifically their college success coaches. They also meet with each of our students several times during the year along their journey to heading towards college. So
for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Krista Petty, and she is the mentor coordinator for the Take Stock in Children program right here in Brevard County, Florida, and they're affiliated with the Brevard Schools Foundation. Now, tell our listeners what happens once a child completes the program.
Right. Well, first of all, we celebrate with them. We have our own graduation ceremony. We actually have a graduation and induction ceremony. So new students coming into our program and the students graduating our program, we have a party and a graduation where we honor those graduates and their mentors at the same time. So we have that in late April. And then we walk alongside those students their whole senior year. Our college success coaches are walking alongside them, helping them understand, filling out the FAFSA, filling out other scholarships, helping them choose their school that they're going to go to, activating those scholarships. We even have students who will call us that they've graduated and said, I must be doing something wrong, and they're still counting on their college success coach as they're going the first day to right. college classes. So we don't give up on our students. We walk with them down that path. And Take Stock in Children across the state of Florida has started a Take Stock in College. And so they have alumni association for those who are students that were a part of the Take Stock in Children program. They can meet other students at their college campus who are right. also a part of that. So the support just kind of keeps going on and on now that it's 29 years in. Yeah. As a program.
And where do you get your referrals? I mean, because most of these kids, they are at-risk students in middle or high school. Do they normally come from the social workers at the school or the guidance counselors? Or where do they come from?
They do come from the social workers or the guidance counselors, especially at the schools. But also, there are some programs in our schools. There is a program called Cambridge at one of our schools. There is a program called AVID. And again, those are classes that are college and career preparation, leadership type classes. And so we really work with those teachers and help them understand what the Take Stock in program is. And then they are giving out the applications to students that they really feel like are promising students. They may not be perfect. Like I said, it's a 2.5 GPA. So we're not talking about just looking for students who are 3.0 or 4.0 students. But it's students who are showing some aptitude and teachers who want to see them succeed.
So for our listeners who are listening to this program today, there's no excuse for people to say, my kid can't go to college. Because once you learn about the Take Stock in Children program, a 2.5 GPA is not that difficult to obtain if someone is focused and they're guided properly, correct?
Absolutely.
So once people know about this program, they should go online, right, and apply for it. and see if they could speak with someone like you or another mentor and see if they can get their children. And is it only for kids who want to go to college, or can it be a vocational training as well?
We have a great college and career technical education program in our Brevard Public Schools, and Take Stock supports that. We support that with a great partnership with Eastern Florida State College. If you don't know that, that college is offering so much these days on AA degrees, AS degrees, certifications for machinist, for CNA. Our high schools are even offering a lot of certifications as well. And so we really do. That money that for the scholarship can also go towards helping pay for someone to go to fire school to become a fireman. Even though right now they're actually not charging much for that. They need firemen and police officers.
Sometimes when you strike up a conversation with people, they'll say, well, you know, you guys can afford it because you have two incomes and, you know, you guys can pay for your children's college and blah, blah, blah. But here's the state of Florida who's saying, well, wait a minute. If you have a child who has the ability to study and be guided and focused and listen and be disciplined, and if you do your part, mom and dad at home, or whoever is the power of attorney for this child, grandparent or whatever, if you do your part, we, the state of Florida, through the state Take Stock and Children program, we can help you send your child to college as well, right?
Absolutely.
So I'm baffled as to why so many people don't know about the program, because I hear low-income people that I speak with on the show, or, you know, people I meet on the street, in the gym, anyway, I could strike up a conversation, and I hear that all the time. Oh, I can't afford to send my kid to college. So what is the Brevard School Public School Foundation doing that that people don't know? I mean, what is it they're not doing to get the word on the street,
well,
right?
Well, one, we are a nonprofit organization, so it's not like that we have huge marketing budgets, and we do really rely on word of mouth.
That's where Ellen comes in handy. She'll put it on our website.
And the other thing is, yes, we not only receive a good amount from Florida Prepaid, like a discount to buy scholarships for these students, but we also need the support of the community through funding, because it's both. It's both and.
And you have any county events? Because I know our time is coming to an end with this segment. So tell our listeners about any events that they can get involved with, or when you're fundraising and stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we have a really wonderful gala every September. It's the Take Stock in Children Gala, and it's very specifically for the Take Stock in Children Scholarship Fund. And so that's always at the Crown. It's been at the Crown Plaza the last couple of years. So that's a fun event that people can get involved in or sponsor. We also have a golf tournament that we do in the fall. That's another way that organizations, businesses, individuals can participate. But also just your own donations, just personal, making Take Stock something important, or Brevard School Foundation important to support. But really, what we need is people. Because we can only give out as many scholarships as we have students and mentors. And
so you need people to mentor, you need people to give a little change, and you need people to also apply for the scholarships,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely.
So we will put out the word on the street, right? But what I like about what the Take Stock in Children is so passionate about is you're encouraging personal growth, self-responsibility, and academic success for people that probably will go to bed at night and say, I don't know how my kid is going to go to college.
Absolutely.
Low-income folks right here in Brevard County, Florida, and around the state, and I see Allie shaking her head. That is the truth.
Yes, it is, and it's beyond the college business. That if there are, like Krista mentioned, that it's for maybe you want to get a degree in plumbing or construction, or, you know, because some kids just do better with their hands than they do in a textbook for something much more technical. And those skills, though, we need those kinds of people, and they can make good money with all of that way. My father took a class in refrigeration, you know, just so that he could fix the fridge or the, you know, or whatever else he needed to do at the house with that sort of thing. So it's not a bad thing to have what you use your hands for, so that, you know, it can expand through all of that area, not just college.
So Krista, again, tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, what does a mentor do? Because people often feel like if they sign up for something, they're going to be bogged down with a lot of work, right, in addition to what they're doing.
Yeah.
So they're meeting with the student once a month after they go through the training?
Well, we actually like them to meet weekly if they can, especially mm-hmm. at the beginning, and they're getting to know each other in a trusting relationship. But minimum of 2 times a month that they meet with their student. We provide a toolkit that really gives them topics to talk about, some games they can play to get to know each other. And I also do some continuing education with our mentors. Sometimes they need a little extra training in trauma. Some of our students come from difficult life situations, and so they share sometimes that information. And so we train our mentors on how to handle some of those situations. But mainly they're there to say, are you going to school? How are you doing? What are your grades? And celebrating with them. They go to their basketball games. That's approved. That's part of a mentoring session. That counts. They go to their art shows and their concerts and support the student. They're an extra adult, just like an extended family member would be in a child's life, to support and to encourage them.
Right. So for our listeners who are tuning in, check out the Take Stock in Children. It is a college scholarship program designed to assist motivated, well-deserving, low-income, middle, and high school students. And don't think you could sign up and slack off, because no. The mentors right. are going to catch you. It's not a place for you to go there and feel just because you're middle and low income, they'll just let you get by. You can't skate by. You've got to maintain a 2.5, which really and truly, it's just about doing your homework, listening
Absolutely.
To your teachers, getting off social media and going to bed and get a good 8-hour rest, and waking up energized in the morning to go to school.
Absolutely.
Just like I would tell my kids.
Yep.
And respect your teachers. Respect the principal. I mean, if people respect their environment, their teachers, their elders, I mean, what a good world we would have, right? I remember us saying a pledge every day in our school. And it was always about respecting our elders and our teachers and service and all that. And I thought it made us good citizens. But here, you know, you've got to be careful what you do in school these days.
Yeah.
Right.
Give us a website if somebody wanted to sign up and learn a little bit more about Brevard Schools Foundation and the Take Stock in Children program.
Well, BrevardSchoolsFoundation.org. It's that simple. And then you'll find us under programs. You're going to see a lot of great things at the Brevard School Foundation that you've never heard of, I'm sure, if you've never been to that website. But you will see the Take Stock in Children program there. And you'll learn at that link under programs about how to apply as a student, how to apply as a mentor, and then just our model of why it works
and how it works. Your website is so easy to navigate. So is the Zonta Club website, too. You could give our listeners your email if you wish, because I know that comes right up on the website,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, oh, I could. It is Petty, P-E-T-T-Y, Krista@BrevardSchools.org.
It's like Tom Petty.
Yes, just like Tom Petty.
I swear to God, her name, Krista, comes up in so many Kristas that have been on our show.
I know,
right?
We've been very lucky.
Yeah. And it's Krista with a K, K-R-I-S-T-A.
It's don't make a
German
mistake.
German spelling.
I have friends that has a C or a K in their name, and they correct you if you say it wrong.
You're right, yeah. You do.
So once again, another fabulous community show to talk about, to tell all your friends about. Certainly the Chocolate Festival coming up on March 3rd over at Grand Manor. You'll want to make sure that you get tickets to that. You can get that on the Zonta website. And then, of course, this program, Take Stock in Children, is a fantastic program. It's been going on for a long time. It's the time. If you've got time to invest in children, especially around here in our own communities, this is the spot to do it. So once again, Sita, thank you so much for an exciting show. Lots of great information, and we will have all of this posted on our website very shortly.
Danny's giving us the hook.
He is giving us the hook.
Like right across the
back.
Have
a great week, y'all. We'll see you next week here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, each and every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 1510 WWBC.